There's huge uncertainty today over the next steps for Gaza and its relationship with Israel. Bereaved Israeli families have expressed anger that the remains of only 4 out of 28 deceased hostages have been handed over. In Gaza, meanwhile, many of the hundreds of Palestinians released after being held without charge by Israel have been alleging torture and mistreatment. In other developments, the Palestinian news agency Wafa reported that 4 people were killed by Israeli forces in Gaza City. 3 others were reported to have been killed in Khan Yunis. There have also been reports of Hamas carrying out public executions of those it accused of criminality and collaborating with Israel. Here's the BBC's Gaza correspondent Rushdie Abu Alouf.
This is a very complicated situation, very fragile ceasefire, and the sense of joy and celebration that occurred yesterday in Gaza turned into uncertainty since the negotiation about the second phase did not start, and the shooting from the Israelis and within Hamas militants and some gangs could be heard clearly in a few places in Gaza.
While there have been reports of more aid getting into Gaza, Rachel Cummings from the aid agency Save the Children says they're still waiting for supplies to come through.
We have now commercial supplies entering Gaza, so there is some food available in the market and the prices are decreasing, which is obviously very positive. It means people who have funds, who have some money, are able to access. But still, we haven't received our supplies, anything, into Gaza since the beginning of March. We're hopeful that's going to change this week. We have shortfalls in our medical clinics. We buy what we can locally. We get some items from the UN where we can, but obviously we also want our supplies to enter.
Rachel Cummings from Save the Children. By the way, if you were wondering why the president of FIFA, Gianni Infantino, made an appearance at last night's summit in Egypt, he's been explaining his presence.
We will, of course, help to rebuild all the football facilities. We will help to bring football back together with the Palestinian Football Association in every corner of the country. We will bring balls, we'll build pitches, we'll bring instructors, we'll help organize competitions. We will launch a fund to help rebuild football infrastructure in Palestine.
Gianni Infantino, our deputy foreign editor Edmund Heafy is in Tel Aviv and he can bring us up to date. Edmund, the bodies of 4 of the dead Israeli hostages have now been released. What's known about them and what's known about the others whose bodies haven't yet been returned?
Yes, Rachel. So 4 coffins arrived in Tel Aviv yesterday containing the remains of Israeli hostages who died in captivity. They were brought to a forensic institute late last night for identification, but it's obviously a somber contrast to Monday's joyful reunions when the 20 living hostages came home. But the thing is, 24 bodies remain unaccounted for. Just 4 came home. 4 of 28 deceased hostages came home to Israel yesterday, which is far fewer than many people had expected. And that's prompting outcry from families and concern about the durability of the deal. But the International Committee of the Red Cross is rowing in on Hamas's side on this, in the sense that they are warning that it could take days or weeks to resolve, given the massive challenge it is for Hamas to locate the remains. And the problem here is the scale of destruction in Gaza. We had the UN saying today that Gaza has at least 55 million tons of rubble, and many of the remains are believed to be buried somewhere beneath all of that. Now, the text of the ceasefire deal did acknowledge that Hamas might struggle to locate everyone within the deadline, the 12 noon deadline yesterday, but only 4 out of 28 is still a significant shortfall. The Israeli government now has been accused of betraying families whose loved ones haven't been returned.
Yesterday, a lot of the international focus was on Israel and on the returning hostages. But what are you hearing about what's actually happening inside Gaza?
Well, first of all, Rachel, I thought, you know, you had such jubilant and happy scenes inside Israel when the hostages were returned. And, you know, there was as many as 1,700 people returned from Israeli prisons to Gaza. But when I was putting my television reports together yesterday, I was just struck by how the footage from Gaza didn't show any joy. You know, they were weary, really despondent faces in the crowds. The bombing has stopped, but I think people were returning home to immense destruction and entire neighborhoods in rubble. But then, as you were alluding to, there's growing tension about what comes next for Gaza. There are widespread reports that Hamas is engaging in clashes with other factions in Gaza, trying to assert control. There was a BBC report suggesting they had appointed new governors over areas of Gaza. But the heaviest fighting has been with a particular clan called the Dolmush clan. They're an influential family in Gaza that have resisted Hamas rule. Hamas is denying that it's doing this to assert control. But our men are clearly patrolling. Their rivals are being killed in Gaza. So while Hamas is telling mediators at a high level that it will step aside and accept that it doesn't have a role in the future governance of Gaza, it looks like on the ground it's consolidating power.
We know that there has been something of an increase in aid deliveries going into Gaza, but what are the agencies saying about what's now needed?
Well, Rachel, aid is finally flowing through. Yeah, after being severely restricted for essentially 2 years, there were rare spurts of aid increases during that period. The UN is saying that real progress is being made. Cooking oil entered Gaza for the first time since March in the past few days. There's tents, flour, frozen food, fresh fruit, medicines. They're all getting through, and apparently hundreds of thousands of hot meals and bread bundles are being distributed across the territory over the past few days. But the UN is saying that almost the entire population needs food aid. That's over 2 million people. They're saying that 500,000 people require treatment specifically for the impacts of famine. And the plan from the UN is to scale up distribution dramatically over the next 60 days. But you know, that's the immediate crisis, and there's a longer term one, and it's about construction. You know, Gaza needs its water systems rebuilt, it needs electricity restored, it needs hospitals functioning, it needs housing reconstructed, and the UN estimated this morning that this will cost $70 billion overall and could take decades. Now, European nations, Canada and the US have indicated some willingness to contribute, but right now the priority is basic survival. It's getting enough food, water and shelter to people who've been living in tents for months, Rachel.
Edmund Heafy in Tel Aviv.